This meeting of House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order at 11:02 on Tuesday, February 13th. Members present are Representative Tarr, Representative Eastman, Representative Chenault, and myself, Chair Stutes. We do have a quorum. I'm going to remind you to please silence your cell phones. However, we are allowing the use of electronic devices during this committee meeting. We are asking that staff and members of the audience not approach the table. If you need to pass a note to committee members, please get the attention of my committee aide, Matt Greening, and he will help you with that. I'd like to thank Brian Glynn of the Fisheries Committee Secretary and Kelsey Goodell from the Juno LIO for technical teleconferencing support. Today, the Fisheries Committee will be hearing House Bill 272, Tangle Lakes State Game Refuge, sponsored by Representative Josephson, and House Bill 149, Boards of Fisheries and Game Meetings, sponsored by Representative Chenault. We first will be hearing House Bill 272, and we have a presentation by the bill's sponsor, Representative Josephson, and his staff, Lisa Delaney. If you would like to please join us at the table, identify yourselves for and your affiliation for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's Andy Josephson on the record for House Bill 272. I am the representative of District 17 in Anchorage. You want to go ahead?
And I'm Lisa Delaney. I'm staff to Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Madam Chair, I want to thank you for giving us some time to present this bill. I want to talk about the origin of the idea of the bill conceptually. I wouldn't have known, although I appreciate this area very much, I wouldn't have known that there was an interest in creating a state game refuge had it not been for others. So the genesis of the bill really comes out of the, I would say, the supporters tend to hail from the Copper Center, Kenny Lake area, as well as Fairbanks. As the chair may know, there are a lot of people in Fairbanks who come down the Richardson for hunting and recreation. They also go to Valdez for boating. They go to the Copper River for dip netting, and so there's a real affection for this area, even hundreds of miles away in Fairbanks. And essentially, what this bill does is create a game refuge in an area to the east of Paxson, roughly to the north of the Alaska Highway, and it is designed to, I think the goal of the legislation is to protect the hunting, fishing, and recreational experience for this area. And in that respect, given that the Nelchina herd frequents this area in the fall and that it is an area of Game Management Unit 13 that is very important to urban areas like Anchorage and Mat-Su, that there's going to be invariably hunting interests that are going to support this as well. Today, you were moments ago copied with a letter from one of those supporters who's talked about the importance of hunting in the Copper River Basin area. She's from Fairbanks, and her name is Felicia Rydell, and there are others like that. My office has received dozens and dozens of letters of support of this bill. We've received one email in opposition, and I'll make sure that that's been forwarded as well. And I would say that, just so it's clear, the mining claims that have been filed in the area, according to the bill, would be able to proceed along a permitting pathway just as they would today without the bill. And we were watchful of the fact that the Alpha Claims Block, which you may be unfamiliar with, I wouldn't blame you for a moment if you were, but you'll see it in the presentation. There are more claims there, and so the game border does not go near there. But both mining and oil interests could proceed apace that exists now, but prospectively the area would be for hunting, fishing, and other recreation. So that's the essence of the bill. The chair and the committee may have some interest in what I call the northern border. It is a relatively straight, although it drops at one point, latitudinal border, reminding me of sort of the Canada-U.S. border. We met with DNR officials. We conferred with Fish and Game officials. We met with DNR at DNR's office, the surveying team. And because there was some debate about whether to follow a natural contour of natural features, it would have covered obviously a pretty identical area, but not precisely identical. And it was DNR's position, at least its surveying team, that this border be used instead as a more practical solution. So with that, I'll answer any questions, but I'm ready to turn this over to Ms. Delaney for her PowerPoint.
Do we have any questions? Seeing none, Ms. Delaney. Representative Eastman, did you have a question?
Yes, quickly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Through the chair, I was just wondering, what's the acreage of the refuge proposed?
Ms. Delaney, it is, the answer is 156,000 acres.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for the sponsor? Thank you. Ms. Delaney, please proceed.
Okay. For the record, this is Lisa Delaney. And here we go. So the motivations are that this is a really, really popular area for Alaskans across the state. It's very scenic, very easy to access, and has a lot of resources. Hunting, fishing, and trapping is really popular, as is tourism, subsistence use, and a variety of sports. So we have a lot of different types of places of note in the state. The four main categories are state range areas, anadromous waters, controlled use areas, and state refuges, sanctuaries, and critical habitat areas. So this is where we are focused. Why we chose a refuge, it fits the description here. It has sizable concentrations of an important species. The Nalchina herd is extremely important to Alaska and Alaskans. Also, it allows recreation, whereas some of the other designations control recreation through permits and similar management strategies. So this is the proposed refuge area. I've marked 7 Mile Lake and the Tango Lakes just for a little bit of perspective. It's kind of hard to get a statewide idea on this tiny, tiny map in the top left corner. You can also see the mining claims, most of which are to the north, outside the northernmost boundary of the refuge. So here, zooming out a little bit, the pink circle is more or less the general area. Also, apologies for the Denali Highway. Google Maps wouldn't let me mark it because that road is closed right now, so I had to improvise.
On this back one, on the other map, yeah, this purple, these are mining claims that won't be affected. Is that what I heard you say, Representative Josephson, earlier?
Through the chair, or to the chair, yes, they would be unaffected. They would proceed as they otherwise would.
Thank you.
Okay. So again, you can see 7 Mile Lake and Tango Lakes there. Just for a little bit, I'll go back and forth here. Okay. So what else is in this area? Within the boundaries of the refuge, there's also Game Management Unit 13, specifically 13B. Again, really small map, apologies. The pink circle is more or less where the refuge is. It's slightly larger than the area of the refuge. There's also Clearwater Creek Controlled Use Area, and that's controlled by Fish and Game. There is the Delta National Wild and Scenic River Corridor, and that's BLM land. And there's Tango Lakes Archaeological District, and that is DNR. So these should keep doing what they do regardless of this refuge. It doesn't really impact them. They continue on as they have been. So here's just a quick view on Alaska's caribou herds. You can see 18, again, pink circle. That's where the Nelchina herd is. And they are the sixth largest herd in the state in terms of numbers. They have 46,500 individuals. So pretty important. Now on to the bill itself. So section 1A is 7 pages of boundary description, and we got these through DNR. They mostly follow the geography. There's an amphitheater to the north, but they do use actual parcel boundaries in the legal description because we were told that's kind of standard and the easier, more legally defensible way of doing things. So Section 1B describes our purpose, so why the game refuge. It's for subsistence use, hunting and fishing, as well as recreational, scientific, aesthetic, and educational purposes. It's intended to provide permanent protection for fish, wildlife, and habitats. And it describes how this is going to be done, which is through managing human use and activities in a way compatible with preserving the above. So C through F, it provides land use restrictions on mining except for existing claims. As previously mentioned, those keep doing their own thing as they have been. And restrictions on oil and gas development unless the commissioner deems it compatible with the goals of the refuge.
I have a question. Does this allow expansion of existing mining claims? It says, except for existing claims, what if an existing operation is looking to expand somewhat? Are they precluded from doing so because of this?
I believe that depends on the condition of the claim. If it's outlined in the claim that... I would need to look into that. The claims go on as they have been. If there are changes to the claim, that is to say, if they needed to apply for a new claim, that's not allowed.
You must be referring to permits. If it expands the permits, for the mining, then they would not be eligible for additional permit expansion. I'll let you look into it. And why don't you pass that information on to my committee aide when you have an opportunity?
Okay,
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. Now, maybe I misheard. I thought that there was still a process by which new mining claims could go through, but you're saying if the refuge is in effect, that wouldn't be the case?
That's my understanding. It's through the chair.
Follow-up?
Follow-up, Representative Eastman.
So if there's some huge discovery of diamonds or gold or platinum or something, then that would not be possible after the refuge is in effect?
Through the chair? Yes, that is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I should mention that online we have Alpheus Bullard, who is from Ledge Legal, and we have, Department of Natural Resources, Brent Goodrum, and I'm presuming the Department of Fish and Game is for your bill, or is that for yours, Representative Josephson?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure who DFNG is here for, but...
Well, regardless, we have Bruce Dale and Joe Nehan from the Department of Fish and Game online for any questions for either. So, anyway.
Just to clarify, at page 7, lines 21 through 24, that's the key language that would allow existing claims to be pursued but would prohibit prospective claims. However, that doesn't necessarily answer your question about expansion of claims, and we'll look into that issue.
Thank you. Proceed.
Okay. So land sales are also prohibited within the refuge boundary. However, DNR and Fish and Game have the authority to enter leases, again, assuming it is compatible with the goals of the refuge. And finally, we have an effective date in Section 3, January 1st, 2019. And that is our bill.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for the sponsor, Representative Chenault?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'm just looking through the brochure here, and looks like we have 32 statewide refuges of some form or fashion that encompass about 3.2 million acres, and this would add another 156,000 acres for national refugee sanctuaries and critical habitat areas. I'm guessing that's a question.
Through the chair, Representative Chenault, I assume those facts are right. I suspect that the number of 32 includes critical habitat areas, sanctuaries, and other set-asides of various forms, because 32 seems like more than I've seen.
Follow up.
And Madam Chair, if I may, Representative Josephson, just looking on page 4, number 4, state refugees, sanctuaries, critical habitat areas, just says down there toward the middle of the page that it's 32 statewide and encompassing 3.2 million acres. And I would assume that I think this was 156,000 more acres that would add to that total to 3.356 million acres.
Through the chair, that sounds correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. Why now? Obviously, this refuge could have been made a long time ago, or we could wait another 10, 20 years. What's driving it right now?
I'll, through the chair, take a stab at that, and then if Ms. Delaney has something more to add, she can, at the chair's discretion, do that. So there is a general allowance for mining on state lands, unless prohibited. And this has been something that's been sort of in the offing and under consideration by a number of people along the Richardson Corridor between Fairbanks and Valdez and then east toward Chitna for some time. And I think that part of the appeal of this is that there aren't lots of mining claims that have been made in the proposed area. And once a vested interest is entered into, a property interest is formed, and it becomes, and there's legal debate about this, but it becomes a vested interest. And currently, we believe that hunting, fishing, and other recreational interests would like to have this created as a refuge. And then, for example, anecdotally, having talked to some hunters in the area, they would prefer to do that without mining claims adjacent to their recreational activity. And so that's where the timing comes from.
Follow up?
Follow up, Representative Eastman.
Through the chair also. And what's the what's the relative health of the herd? How is it doing? Is it increasing? Is it same? Is it decreasing? Do we know?
Through the chair, I'm not sure of the statistics. I can look that up if you'd like.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm also told that we have Ed King, and I see him back there in the room, and he can answer any existing or any questions on existing expansion of mines if you'd like. So maybe we could have Mr. King come forward. Did you have a question?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Ed King, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of Natural Resources. Madam Chair, our interpretation of the bill is that if this bill, or as soon as this bill were to take effect, then no additional claims could be entered into, so no additional acreage in any form. Mining claims are not quite like leases where they expand and contract. They're staked and claimed, and they're more binary. They're on or off. So what this bill would do is prevent any new claims from being made in the refuge area. What we do understand is that the ability to pursue the claims that are already in effect would continue, and that could include the expansion of the types of activities that are happening on the existing claims, but no expansion beyond the claim could happen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any other questions for Mr. King? Thank you. Oh, for Mr. King?
No.
Mr. King, thank you. Representative Josephson. Representative Tarr?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious, in one of the letters of support, a gentleman says, you know, thank you for sponsoring this. I hope this time we're successful in getting it through both houses. And so I'm just wondering, I apologize if I missed it. It sounds like this has been introduced before and supported by the legislature. Could you give any information you know about that previous effort?
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, I have some recollection of seeing that, too. Like I said, I think this has been brewing for many, many, many years, and it certainly wasn't a sudden development. There are people who have talked about this for a very long time. I'm unfamiliar with that, though, and I could look in our legislative history and see if there was a previous effort.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Through the chair. Now, what's the strategy behind the effective date of waiting till January 1st?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I'm not sure that there was any particular strategy. I don't really have an answer to that. I don't know of any strategy. I suspect that Ledge Legal prepared it that way, and I didn't give it a second thought. Perhaps I should have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for the sponsor of this bill? Seeing none, we have Cliff Ames here as invited testimony. Mr. Ames, are you there?
Are you ready for my testimony, Madam Chair?
We are. If you'd please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin with your testimony, and I'm going to ask you if you could limit it to about 3 minutes.
I will do my best, and you can just cut me off after 3 minutes.
Thank you.
My name is Cliff Ames. I'm the chairman of the board of directors of Copper Country Alliance. Copper Country Alliance is a regional conservation organization, and our mission is to protect the rural and the wild character of the Copper Basin Wrangell Mountains region. I really appreciate this chance to testify, and I, of course, appreciate Representative Josephson's having introduced this important bill to establish the state game refuge. I had hoped to start off by discussing my experiences up there and the many important positive values of the land within the proposed refuge boundary, but since there's been quite a bit of discussion of mining, and from what we understand, there might be a little bit of some confusion. I will start off with a couple of mining comments instead. We think that there's at least a chance that the map that you're looking at is a map from 2012. Our understanding as of the end of 2017 is that there are no valid existing mining claims within the refuge boundary, and that the most remaining interest is north of the refuge boundary. I also would like to point out, and Representative Josephson suggested this, that we have been looking at more than two decades of mining interest in the area and a fair amount of exploration activity. Anglo-American, you might recognize that name, one of the larger mining companies in the world, invested two or three or four summers of exploration a number of years ago. They failed to find any commercially valuable deposits, and they left the area. Subsequently, Itochu Limited, a Japanese international mining company, came in, and they explored for a summer or two. They didn't find any commercially valuable deposits, and they left the area. One other company, I don't remember the MMG came in, they explored, and they also left the area. We think that this history suggests that there's a very strong likelihood that there aren't large commercially valuable deposits within the refuge boundary, and that this is an appropriate time to establish a refuge to protect, among other things, but probably primarily the Nelshina caribou herd, which, as Representative Josephson said, is of a huge importance to a large swath of the state. Certainly Fairbanks, Anchorage, Matsu, and our neighbors here in the Copper Basin, who many of them rely on getting their caribou so that they will have adequate winter food. I'll start in on a few other things, and Madam Chair, if you'd tell me when my time has run out. I have visited this area many times. I haven't been there as frequently as the Nelshina caribou herd, but I've been there quite a few times. I backpacked there, day hiked, watched birds, including trumpeter swans, watched caribou, moose, and grizzly bears, enjoyed the wildflowers, picked blueberries and cranberries, and on all of these trips, I've been a sightseer. It's a rare above-tree-line sightseeing experience. And it's a fantastic opportunity, not just to engage in active recreation, to hunt or to fish, but also to sightsee. There are tour buses who come across the Denali Highway. They stop at the McLaren River Lodge for lunch, providing opportunities for that lodge. My wife and I, when we make the 2.5-hour trip from Kenny Lake to the Tangles, we'll frequently stop at Myers Lake Roadhouse, again, providing some economic benefits there. Also happens to be excellent grayling fishing in the area. And there are three watersheds, the, I'll call it Tangle / Delta watershed, the Gulfana watershed, and the Sitna watershed. It could be affected by large-scale mining. And this is not expected to be, if it were to happen, we're not sure that it would happen based on the exploration history. This would not be mom-and-pop operations. It would be an international-scale industrial mining operation with a tremendous number of side effects. I think I've probably gone over my 3 minutes.
You have. If you can sum it up, we'd be appreciative.
Sure. I won't sum it up except to say that we strongly recommend that the House Fisheries Committee pass this bill on with a recommendation for passage by the full House. We think that the sustainable resources in this area far outweigh any possible benefits that mining might bring. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from this committee for Mr. Ames? Seeing none, we appreciate it. Are there any other comments from committee members regarding this legislation? Okay, seeing none, I would like committee members to note that this comes with two zero fiscal notes, and that we will be setting this bill aside for a hearing at a future date. And I appreciate it, and we'll take a brief at ease while we prepare for the next presentation. And up next we have House Bill 149 by Representative Chenault here to present the bill. We have Representative Chenault's staff, Tom Wright, and also Representative Chenault. But before we hear from the sponsor, we have an amendment to provide a technical fix to the bill. Representative Chenault, may I have a motion?
Madam Chairman, I don't have the amendment here in front of me, but I would move amendment to
Amendment number one
to House Bill 149.
Mm-hmm. I'll object. Okay. For purposes of discussion.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if you would like, I would have my staff describe what the amendment does.
Thank you. Representative Chenault. Tom.
For the record, my name's Tom Wright, staff to Representative Chenault. This amendment was suggested to us by the Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance. And first of all, what this does is clarify that the meetings will take place every 5 years under 1605-300B. And then for some reason, Southeast was not included in the various regions. Prince William Sound included Yakutat, but Southeast was not included, so we included Southeast, make it all-encompassing to include Yakutat. So what we've done is removed Yakutat from Prince William Sound and included within Southeast and added Southeast as another region.
Thank you. Representative Tarr, do you maintain your objection?
Well, it's just strange that we didn't hear anything about the bill and we're amending it before hearing the bill. So I can remove my objection, but it just seems a little out of order and just not totally organized. But
I believe it was just a technical fish or technical fix because the bill refers to five areas, but they had left one area out, and so this puts the fifth area back into the bill.
Sure. Well, hopefully we'll hear the bill and we'll have more to go on.
Okay, then. Representative Eastman?
Thank you. So do I understand then with the amendment passed that it would require the board to meet basically one out of every 5 years in each of these five communities? Is that my understanding?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. So if there are no further objections, we will consider amendment number one adopted. So you may join your staff, Representative Chenault, and begin the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Representative Chenault from District 29 on the Kenai Peninsula. Madam Chair, before you today, you have House Bill 149. It's an act relating to the meetings of the Board of Fish and the Board of Game. House Bill 149 proposes two changes. First change would change the three-year meeting cycle for management of specific fisheries to 5 years. And the second change would add Kenai to the South Central region as a location to hold Board of Fish meetings. Madam Chair, the main reason that I'm advocating for the three-year change to a five-year cycle is that way it would allow boards to determine if the proposals adopted by the Board of Fish are actually working before they make more changes. Three-year cycle is simply too short, especially when most of the salmon runs are between 3 and 5 year cycles. To determine whether the policy is adopted by the board is beneficial to the resources and many other user groups, depending on those salmon. Madam Chair, also in the legislation, should an emergency situation arise, the board can still meet under emergency order. The commissioner can also call meetings, and the board can meet with two or more board members decide to meet. And really, the second reason for this legislation, Madam Chair, is the board has not met in the Upper Cook Inlet issues in the Kenai Soldotna area since 1999. The issues affect and have a direct impact on the Kenai Peninsula residents as well as the rest of South Central Alaska. I'm not against holding any meetings in Anchorage or the Mat-Su or other areas. But with the impact that it has on the not only the commercial fishermen, but all user groups in my area, I think it's imperative that they do meet on some type of regular basis on the Kenai Peninsula. So, Madam Chair, that's the main crux of the bill, and we're open to any questions you got. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Chenault. Are there questions for Representative Chenault from this committee? Representative Eastman.
Yes, so now with Kenai included in South Central, Kenai or the Mat-Su would qualify. Is that right? Okay. Thank you.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Are there further questions? Seeing none, I would like to direct the committee members to the fiscal note in their packets and point out that this bill does have a fiscal impact, but of the good variety. There is a cost savings to the state on this. There is no invited testimony today, and we will be setting this bill aside for a future date, at which time we will have public testimony on this bill. I thank you very much, Representative Chenault and Mr. Wright. And with that, I would like to say our next meeting of the House Fisheries will be on Thursday, February 15th at 11 a.m. We will be having the subcommittee meeting once again at 10 a.m. We will be hearing a presentation from DNR about the permitting process that is handled by the DNR. So thank you for coming. We appreciate it. And seeing no further business before this committee, we will adjourn at 11:38.